Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com. Midway USA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high-quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
All right, welcome back to the Survival and Basic Badass Podcast. Today, well, we're going to talk about piracy. We're going to talk about if you have a small boat and you're kind of touring the world, what kind of things can you do to protect your boat? We're also going to talk about in a off-grid shit hits the fan situation, our small boats is going out to sea and just kind of getting away from the craziness. Is that maybe an option? We're going to kind of look at the options and get to the bottom of it. But that's one of the things is you're very vulnerable when you're on a small craft to the crazy out in the world. And, you know, in America, we feel pretty protected and the Coast Guard's out there. We have this false sense of security, I think, in America in general. But I think you feel like, hey, we're pretty good out here. But there's definitely some crazies. I don't know, Kevin, you remember that movie Cape Fear?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a good one.
There's kind of nowhere to run. That was always one of the things. You know, they were always scared of fire in the Navy because there's nowhere to go.
Right.
You just kind of have to deal with whatever problem comes up. And that's one of the things that, you know, we have to look at. So basically, the issues that come up are kind of the same. When you have a small craft and you're out there, you and the wife or you and the girlfriend or you and your buddies, who knows, whatever, you go out on your small boat, you're subject to the world out there. And there are crazy piracy actions happening out there. And there's also a lot of thievery and just debauchery in general in the world. And really, what can you do to protect against it? So, Kevin, you have any thoughts? I have some basics, but
yeah, well, let's talk for a few minutes about, you know, prepping and that sort of stuff as far as being on a boat. You know, I think being on a boat, you know, gives you certain advantages and disadvantages in a situation like that. You know, nobody can really sneak up on you unless you're not paying attention if you're on a boat. You know, you always have a source of food as far as fishing goes. But there are also a lot of drawbacks. Like you said, if the boat sinks, you're out of luck. You know what I mean? You have to always be on guard for that. And, you know, if you've been on a ship, you know that there's always water getting in there, getting on there. And you have to continually be, you know, most people have bilge pumps in their boats, but you have to continually be on top of that. And, yeah. You know, there's a lot of disadvantages. You're kind of out in the open when a storm rolls through. And, you know, there's a lot of things to worry about. being dead at sea is no good if nobody's going to come out and rescue you. And, you know, if your radio's out, or, you know, like you said, shit hits the fan, the Coast Guard isn't coming to save your ass. Now, a lot of people talk about just out on lakes, you know, big lakes.
Yeah.
Which is great. And it's, you know, you're not going to have 30-foot waves on a lake in a big storm, but, you know, you still have disadvantages. You know, most people, if you're on a boat, most people can swim, you know, people that are on a boat anyway, and yeah, you can usually make it to shore. But if you can't see the coast, if you're that far out, man, you're kind of fucked.
Yeah. Well, are you? Yeah. I mean, if you got to swim back, yeah, you're kind of screwed. That doesn't work. They do have those little dinghy boats that you tow behind, and, you know, you hope for the best and, you know, whatever. But I guess, like, all right, let's kind of get down into the options that we have on there before we get too crazy here. So, like, I don't know. I watched other videos, and people are very worried about guns. And the reason they're reluctant with guns, and I understand this, and this is legitimate, is there's a lot of foreign countries and places that you can't pull into with guns on your boat. And, like, I might refer you to the communist state of New Jersey.
Right.
I know that, you know, like in England, you can go into the port authority kind of thing and declare your guns. If you have a proper safe on board, they'll seal your safe and then you can, you know, you're okay. Some other countries, Italy, I believe, some other ones, there's just no guns. It's just no. You can check them in when you pull into Italy and leave your guns at the first place you go. I know Mexico has something kind of like that. Now, I know there was a story about a Mexican captain of a luxury yacht who pulled in and was like, "Hey, I have all these weapons to declare." And they were like, "Yeah, you should have called us before you pulled in our waters." And they put him in jail for 4 months and seized his boat.
Yeah, it doesn't sound good.
No. So that's the deterrent, you know, why you're like, "Yeah, I'm not sure I want guns." And customs people will come and board your ship and kind of look for, you know, any kind of weapons or anything that they're concerned about. So that's something you need to be aware of. And it is a legitimate fear and a legitimate concern. So I think you would definitely want to take that into account. Now, do you buy a $300 AK and some magazines, and or maybe you took it from the last pirates that you beat and
right.
keep your boat until you get to Italian waters and then you just throw it over the side? Maybe mm-hmm. it's a good option. I'm just saying. So anyway, let's talk about some non-firearm weapons that you could do. I heard a lot of people mention, oh, the air horn. Well, yeah, blasting somebody in the face with an air horn is not pleasant. However, your Somali pirates with 50 cals, probably not, you know.
Yeah, they don't give a shit about that.
Having night vision, that gives you a big upper hand. Right. That's something to really consider. Thermal scopes, that kind of thing. Thermal monocular, that kind of thing. Excellent. If you do have a gun, I would say night vision or thermal scope. They're not that expensive if you look at ATN. There are some rules about going to foreign countries with thermal and night vision, though. But there are actually options out there that are not regulated by, you know, as far as taking them to other countries. So that's mm-hmm. something to look at. Flare gun. That is actually an option. Let me see. I have, you may want to, believe it or not, I consider some good defensive preps, radios, satellite phone, mm-hmm. things like that. Having a radar. Now, the problem is a lot of these boats are smaller woods, but a lot of the pirate action done for the old school PT boats, and having right. a surface search radar not super expensive, and you can, you know, you can actually see what's out there and be preventative. But some of the smaller woodcraft, you're not going to pick it up. You're not going to, you know what's coming. So you are vulnerable. People talk about, you know, having a fire extinguisher and blasting people in the face, mace, pepper spray, that kind of thing. All right. Now we're going to get into a little bit more hardcore. There is a lot of CO2 that are legal in other countries that you may want to, you know, can really up your game. There's one called the the TR50, and it's a 6-cylinder like revolver that basically they're basically lethal rounds. If you're putting in metal balls, they're lethal rounds. They're pretty accurate. They, the way they're set up, the CO2 cartridge loads in the bottom and you can kind of click it in when you're ready to use it. So the idea is, you know, I don't know if you guys have used CO2 things, but basically the air leaks out after 5 or 6 days once you puncture it.
Right.
It's pretty hard to keep it, you know, basically charged and ready. This TR50 revolver is actually pretty awesome. It, you can just slap the bottom and put it in. Now they have ones that look like a Walther, pistol, that a little less accurate, a little less powerful. To be honest, the big revolver is kind of the way to go. The Walther one is the T4E. I think it stands for, training for engagement. I don't know.
Okay.
They're all, if you search, they're all available an air gun? On Amazon. They're all air guns. There's another one called the Air Javelin. And the Air Javelin is basically like a CO2 crossbow kind of, you know, hybrid. That's awesome. And I would look at crossbows. They're another excellent choice. Now, here's the thing. This is going to help you with maybe 2 or 3 guys at the most who have normal conventional weapons. If you go against 4 guys with AKs and you got this nonsense little revolver, it's not going to end well for you. You know, unless you have that sneaky, I'm going to, you know, buddy up to you and wait till you're right here and then start, you know, turn and blast everybody in the head before anybody knows what's happening. Unless you're that guy, then it's probably not going to end well for you if they have big weapons. Guess what? If you're in your wooden sailboat, fiberglass sailboat, and they're outside with an AK with 2 magazines, I don't care if you lock yourself inside or not. It's not going to end well.
Right.
Another thing that, I mean, the bottom line is you need to be the faster boat. You need to be the more alert. You need to be the before. I mean, even the big pirate ships back in the day, you know, when they saw another ship, it was all about, can we outrun them? You know, I mean, that's kind of what it comes down to. That's where you want to be. But, you know, that's, it's a tough ask. You know, that's the thing.
Right.
And a lot of times they'll try and surround you, you know, block you with 2 or 3 small boats, kind of come in. A lot of people aren't paying attention. You know, sometimes you wake up to guys, you know, pounding on the outside of your ship. Now they do have outside like perimeter alarms that are battery operated, or, you know, a lot of people have 120 volt systems that they can do with their boats, but that's something to look at too. All your hatches, they do have bars and ways that you can lock yourself in and make it pretty secure. It's good, but I would also look into, can I slip over the side? Can I just disappear? That's not always an option. You know, I mean, at night you might be able to slip away with the dinghy kind of thing. Even the dinghy, they're going to see you. It doesn't end well. I would look at, you know, maybe, Kevin, you know, we've talked about caches and right. having secrets, a lot of voids in most watercraft and places that mm-hmm. you can hide stuff. There's place to hide stuff where, you know, you can tuck it in and make secret compartments. That's something you want to look into, you know,
right.
Because hiding your gear and everything like that.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of ships are, you know, that are designed for smuggling have some pretty impressive compartments. But it's not something that, you know, you have to be somewhat talented to be able to build it yourself, you know, and that's really how you have to do it. You can't hire somebody to come in and do it, and then people know about it, right? But there are a lot of, like you said, there are a lot of voids in ships, and yeah. you can put something in there that's pretty well hidden. The problem is when you're pulling into ports, people are looking for that sort of stuff. You know, you're not the first person to come up with the idea of, you know, smuggling firearms into a port. You know, it's not a brand new thing. There's a lot of people bringing drugs in, especially in the Mediterranean. There's a lot of drugs that are going back and forth through there, and people are on the watch for that, and they're looking for that sort of stuff.
Yeah, you're not going to do that with, and don't even think about trying to get past customs with a little secret compartment. That's just going to end up with you in prison.
Right.
Like I said, you really, with these searches, they can be very elaborate, and it's just a matter of time, and every situation is a roll of the dice. You don't want to really push your luck with, you know, carrying firearms into a place that you shouldn't.
And, you know, there are definitely places you can pull in to ports where nobody's going to be paying attention to you. You know, you can anchor off a coast someplace. You can, you know, I know that there's, you know, you can go in the mouth of a river, you know, into the country and pull into one of the ports that are along the river. And they're not paying attention as well. But there are, I mean, you know, you have to really plan ahead for that sort of stuff. That's not something that's like, you know, I'm not the first person to think about it, and neither are you. You know, you're not the first person that's going to try and pull some bullshit like that. And, you know, they catch people all the time with that sort of stuff. I know a friend of mine, his brother was fishing off the coast of Florida.
Okay.
And Coast Guard pulled up, and he didn't throw a shotgun over the side, which he should have done. And since he was a convicted felon, he's going to be in prison the rest of his life with that one. So it's not you know, it's not something to mess around with or play around with, because the Coast Guard isn't, you know, they're not. You think of them as a bunch of weekenders, but that's not really the case with all the ships that are pulling you over, especially if you're off the coast of Miami where all the drugs come in through. They're taking that shit serious, and they're expecting people to have automatic weapons. So, you know, it's just something to keep in mind. You're not going to outfight a lot of these ships that are going to come along with you. Unless you're really well armed, and that brings its own danger with it.
Now, I do see in the comments here one of the go to and definitely legal and able to deal with is the Molotov cocktail.
Right, right. That's,
I gotta
smart.
Say, a bunch of angry pirates with AKs, and you set them all on fire. It might work.
Yeah, now, it's not a good position to be in if you're the one that's on fire on your boat. You know? Yeah,
but when you're lighting it up, you are kind of a target. You may want to be behind the bridge, kind of thing.
Right,
like,
right.
You know,
well, it's, yeah,
you
it's definitely
be secret
something that,
until it happens. You got to be a little sneaky with that.
There's
one.
A lot of people that have lit themselves on fire trying to throw a Molotov cocktail. It's not,
Kevin,
not it, you want to practice that before you're in a situation.
Let's not turn it into something ugly. I think that was an excellent suggestion. And I think that I'm completely on board with it. Also, I mean, if we're going with the exception, what about those net guns? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You blast, you know, I do remember that show. What was it? And what's his name? Shit, the skateboarder.
Was it
Robin?
I forget what it was.
Rob Dyrdek, right. And Big Black. There, it was like Robin, Big and Rob, or something. I don't know. But they had a couple episodes with those net guns, and they're pretty freaking awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, they are impressive, but you know, I don't know what the range is on that sort of stuff, man. I don't think that I'd ever go for any of those non-lethal weapons. You know, I know there's a place for them.
Yeah.
But you know, if you're in a situation like that, you want to kill people.
No, I'm with you 100%. And then that's the thing. So if you do come across some angry pirates and you take them out with your net gun and your air pistol, take their AK and keep it in your boat until you get to the next port. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's always like, I always read these prepper novels and I find it a little humorous that I find it humorous, but I actually think some of it is legitimate. They always get like, I'll tell you later. I even went to a training class where it was all about this, but they always seem to just acquire a gun on the way home. Like it's usually a matter of minutes. Some of them even like acquire like, oh, there's an EMP and now there's a 20th of all the running vehicles in the world. I mean, this is in the story, right? I don't really know how many vehicles, although I will say the really modern vehicles, they suggested that they would hold up to an EMP. And I think that's bullshit. I think the modern vehicles of now, I mean, I think in the last 5 years.
Yeah, I know. I know when they were doing.
Yeah, they said they were fine, but.
Yeah, when they were doing tests in the 1950s with the 1950s vehicles, they said that any running car stalled out with the EMP from the nuclear explosion. But they said they're able to start them back up. But that's 1950s technology, not modern technology. And I'm not 100% on how a modern car is going to work. I mean, at minimum, you're going to have check engine lights on because all your sensors are going to be, you know, screwed. You know, your CO2, all your emission sensors are going to be, going to be screwed.
I don't know. I just don't see a scenario. A lot of guys have a circuit board in there. Now, again, it's kind of shielded under the hood of the car. People have all different theories, but bottom line, they say kind of up till 86 or so, you're good. But I know we're getting a little off task. Sorry about that. But
it's just our favorite topic is EMPs.
EMPs are the prepper world, right? So, but bottom line, these guys get these like battlefield fights all the time. Where, you know, hey, look, you know, I just killed this guy because I snuck up and slit his throat because, you know, that's what you do.
Right.
And now I have his gun, you know, so how. Angry pirates are probably not going to be scared guns. That's kind of the thing. They're probably not going to be people who are easily overtaken. Guys with AKs, not usually the guy that you can overtake. I will say AKs jam a fair amount if they're not properly cleaned and taken care of. And I know out at sea, things can be a little iffy. So
I was I was actually watching some videos of some pirates that were they were river pirates in I think it was Nigeria.
Okay.
And, you know, they were just cruising up and down these rivers. And I was looking at their weapons and they had some heavy, some heavy small arms, you know, and they were all just rusted to shit. Now, I don't know that these guys are necessarily the best at taking care of their weapons, the best at, you know, keeping it clean and keeping it well maintained. But definitely, you know, when you're dealing with salt water or just water in general, you're looking at put some heavy damage on your firearms. Anything that's metal like that, you're gonna have to deal with some real issues. You're gonna have to keep it every day. You're gonna have to be cleaning that up, whether you use it or not, you know. So I think that's something to keep in mind, honestly, is if you are gonna have a firearm on your boat, that you're gonna have to really take care of it and make sure it's not falling apart in a few months.
Yeah. No, that's definitely something you're going to have to kind of consider to, you know, put gun oil in your local stock, you know. But bottom line, like I said, there's really, you know, if somebody has a mounted machine gun and even AKs, you're pretty much outgunned unless you have an AK. The only reasonable weapon, and the price is not reasonable, but maybe like a Barrett 50, right? You know, you have an $8,000 gun. Maybe they're $10,000 now. I don't know. If you have an $8,000 gun, you might be able to stop that guy with the big machine gun because you might be able to get him before he gets too close and gets too, you know, whatever. And I got to say, when they have the small wood boat, yeah, you're kind of sinking that guy with the 50.
Yeah.
Now, again, if he can throw a 50 caliber rounds at your boat versus you throwing one at his, he's got you outgunned. But if he has like a smaller, you know, full auto gun, you might have a real shot.
And I'll tell you this,
game changer. Yeah,
go from ahead. Experience, you know, firing from one moving boat towards another moving thing, it doesn't matter how good of a shot you are. That it's not easy to do. You know, do you ever watch that movie Captain Phillip with Tom Hanks and the Somali pirates?
Yeah, that was impressive.
Yeah, so at the end of the movie, and that was a real event.
Right.
There was a small dinghy that he was in with three pirates, and it was being towed behind a U.S. Navy ship. And there were Navy SEAL snipers, and they were actually able to do headshots on all three of those guys at the same time, which is, I mean, blows my mind that's even possible to do, let alone being confident enough to just try it and see what happens, you know? But I've seen people firing automatic weapons towards stuff from a moving ship, and it's not easy. You know, it doesn't matter how talented you are. It's not an easy thing to do.
Well, that's as far as the full auto, that's where the tracer rounds come in.
Right. That's definitely something you want to be able to do that you can follow, you know, follow where your shots are going.
Yeah. Just, you guys know that Kevin and I were both in the Navy, and, we used to, they'd have a mounted 50 cal on the ship, and we'd shoot tracer rounds, and they'd have something called the killer tomato. And basically they would have planes fly by towing a big red balloon, and we'd shoot the big red balloon out of the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And the tracer rounds, you kind of, you know, you see the big arcs. It's funny. We're seeing a lot of videos coming out of the Ukraine right now.
Mm-hmm,
that you know, people, you know, firing up into the air at the planes and whatever and chasing it down. It's kind of crazy to how effective the tracer rounds are at getting you on target, you know.
Right And you know, like I said, it can be really difficult if you're not seeing where your rounds are going. You know, you'll unload an entire magazine at something and just not hit anything. But also, you know, running an automatic weapon is you're not real accurate with automatic weapons. A lot of people think about that, you know, and think about it as being an easy thing to do, but it's not. It's not. If it's mounted, it's a little bit easier, but it's still not an easy thing to do.
Yeah,
I think a lot of these movies and stuff that you see, they're a little bit inaccurate. You know, a little bit inaccurate at how accurate their firearms are. But if you watch any live videos of real life videos of that sort of stuff happening, you'll see 90% of the rounds just go into the water around what you're shooting at.
Right. I mean, even in the Navy on the warships, it's not as accurate as, you know, people like to think. The missiles and stuff, they are that accurate.
Right.
We do have a lot of guided, like 5-inch guns and stuff now that things are different, but in the past, we did a little bit of guessing. The big thing, it's funny, back in the day, you would actually set like a timer on the round to when it would explode.
Mm-hmm.
And for like the big 5-inch gun, and you would say, all right, you know, it'll be at this far out at, you know, a second or something or 2 seconds, and they would set the timer. And the idea would be the round to explode near the object that you're trying to hit. Mm-hmm. And that would be enough. That would be considered, you know, oh, that's a good shot, you know, when got there. And so that's something, you know, to be aware of. All right, I'm gonna dial it back here a little bit. So back to like pros and cons. Mm-hmm. You know, if you look at for a survival situation,
right. A survival situation on a ship is not as easy as you might think. You know what I mean? You're not gardening. You're not hunting. You're not doing a lot of the stuff you have, and you have limited space on a ship as far as what you can, as far as what you can carry with you. One of the biggest things about boats is the limited space. Another thing that you have to be conscientious of is, a lot of your canned food, a lot of your food like that, the labels are going to be gone. So you have to kind of label all your food as you go. You know what I mean? Black magic marker on top of the can. So you can figure out what's in the can before you open it up. Cause those labels are going to be gone, as soon as they get wet.
One of the big limitations though, is you just don't have a ton of room and weight, that you can carry on a boat, and it depends on the boat, obviously you can have a giant freaking barge and then you might be king. I mean, that might be the answer. If you can set up a little, apocalypse colony on a barge and you got, mm-hmm. Room to actually garden and grow some stuff and whatever.
Right.
That might not be a bad way. And you got a tugboat that can get and you're protected away from people. That might be an option. I mean, things actually are possible. Cruise ships and stuff actually get decommissioned and come up for, sale and stuff like that. That's an option. Obviously it's not an option for everybody's budget, but there's some amazing things that come out that you're like, damn, look at that. I'd love to own that. And you find out that they're not really a big deal, to mm-hmm. obtain. So something to consider, but obviously the fuel required to move something like that and whatever is enormous. I had a buddy who, had a decent size, boat. And when gas prices went way up about 7-8 years ago, he was like, yeah, I used to drive my boat to Florida every year for the winter and leave it, there. And he was like, I can't do it. It's like $6,000 in fuel to drive to Florida.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, it doesn't pay. And so all these people were selling all these kind of luxury boats because they're like, I can't afford to run it, and I can't take care of it. It just gets ridiculous. So that's something, you got to figure into your, supplies, figure into your plan. Now you're like, well, I'll just have a sailboat. Well, all right, great. But you're not outrunning a lot of people. You're not, you're definitely limited.
Right.
That's really what it comes down to. You're limited, but you're also probably sleeping easy at night. It's a lot easier to defend a sailboat, when you're out. Now, again, you're not easy to defend when there's guys coming at you with a 50 cal, but I got to say, when I'm sitting in my tent on the shore and somebody comes at me with a 50 cal, it's not easy to defend that either.
Right, right. And, when fuel isn't easily available, there's going to be a lot fewer, boats on the water. And, sailboats obviously are not all that easy to use unless you have a lot of experience with them, if you don't have fuel, if there's no fuel available or fuel's extremely expensive, there's not going to be a whole lot of people, chasing your boat, trying to chase your boat down and catch up with you. And that's just, ultimately, I think that you're a lot safer on a ship, on a boat, than you are on shore someplace. But there's also a lot of drawbacks.
Right. And that's, on a bigger ship, I mean, those are going to be the guys who are kicking ass when, you're on the big container ship or whatever, and you're out at sea and there's an EMP over the mainland. A lot of times people aren't going to waste the effort of, if it's a nuclear device or whatever, not just randomly covering the oceans, because you can only do so much, these guys and they're self-contained units. You know, they have desalinization, they have food and supplies, they have all this stuff. They're going to be probably in a better situation. Now, obviously, they could be at the end of their resources where they are, you know, are at the point where they have to pull in and, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, all that's possible. I mean, any scenario. But in general, these people are ready to go. And that's something, you know, you want to keep in mind. So that's the bottom line. I mean, you have a lot of choices here. But you need to think about how am I going to defend it? And you need to really kind of, you know, find a way to protect you and your family, take care of things, take care of, you know, what you care about. You know, that's what it comes down to. And it always, you know, as we always talk about, it comes down to being prepared. It comes down to planning ahead, to putting these supplies in position, having it ready, having it there, having a plan, but also having a boat that you're not able to get to is not going to be, you know, helpful. Oh, mm-hmm. I have my stockpiled boat and it's just 20 miles away. Well, 20 miles might be hard. And Is it still going to be there when you get 20 miles away? Now, mm-hmm. we had talked about in the past, if you live in New York City, that might be your option, right? Hey, I can get off this crappy island, you know? Mm-hmm. But, and if you act fast, and if it's not that far away, you might be able to do it. Can you, you know, if the lights go out, nobody's going to kind of figure out what's going on for 4 or 5 hours. I'd say you might have a real shot. At if you're 3 or 4 miles away from your boat and you get there and you get the hell off that godforsaken island, that's a cool thing. Mm-hmm. But if the guy who's, you know, yeah, I'm a half hour away in a car from the coast in North Carolina. Yeah, maybe if I have an older vehicle, but I don't know. You know, it just sounds tough and it doesn't sound like my go-to choice. Mm-hmm. But I would say if you guys are kind of out there living on a boat, I would say stay safe because, man, it can be scary. And storms, hurricanes, you know, and crazy people, it's always a threat. It's always a threat kind of everywhere. But out at sea, it really is where you're limited and you don't have, you know, people to call for help. And It is terrifying when people come up on you and, you know, you're really outgunned. It just, there isn't much you can do. You know, all you can do is pray that, you know, the Coast Guard or the Navy's nearby and come and help you out, you know. Because when somebody rolls up with the 50, you're kind of in trouble.
Yeah. Now, the truth is, if you're off the coast of the United States, you're probably in not too bad of a shape because there's not going to be a lot of people out there with 50 cows on their boat. You know, there's not going to be a lot of people doing that sort of crazy shit. But when you get into some of these other areas, you know, and I'm not just talking about Africa, off the coast of India, off the coast of New Zealand, you know, there's a lot of wild places out there in the world that, you know, can be really dangerous. Even off the coast of Mexico, there's some pirates kind of famous in Falcon Lake, which is on the border of the United States and Mexico. It's a 60 mile long lake, and they're just smuggling drugs and seizing boats all the time. And there's all sorts of shootouts. Now, most of it is in Mexican territorial waters. Like I said, it's a lake. It's not, you know, it's not off the coast. So It's limited, but it's a large lake. And, you know, there's a lot of wild shit happening in a lot of places once you leave U.S. borders. And, you know, obviously there's a lot of countries that are like that, that are safe, you know, safe to be out on your boat. You know, without any sort of apocalypse going on. But there's a lot of places in the world where, you know, there's not a whole lot of fucking rules there. You know, there's not a whole lot of people that are enforcing the rules that they do have. So, you know, it's just something to keep in mind, especially if you're just, you know, somebody that is maybe retiring and say, oh, I wanted to sail a boat around the world, you know.
Sounds great.
Pay attention to where the hell you're going.
Yeah, believe it or not, the Caribbean is one of the places where it can get a little rough. And, you know, people mm-hmm. think of it as, you know, more luxury and safer, but like actually the Philippines and stuff, you end up being safer than in the Caribbean. It's really kind of crazy. So yeah. Do your research. That's what I would say. Think about where you're going. Think about your safety. And, you know, like I said, definitely some of these non-traditional firearm options, I would take every precaution I could get. I would load up with some, you know, some reasonable defensive weapons that you can use, and I would keep them handy where you can get them. You know, that's mm-hmm. the thing. It's so easy to become complacent when, hey, we haven't seen a single boat for 12 days. You're not going to necessarily have that gut sidearm on your hip, you know, but right. you know, you're living in freaking, you know, a bathing suit and you know, it's not the norm, but you got to stash this stuff before you can get to it. You got to mm-hmm. be alert. So that's the kind of thing you need the precautions. Maybe you need the alarm outside, you know, looking for, you know, motion detectors. It's tough on a boat because the boat's always rocking and moving, but they do make some alarms that actually seem to work for people. If you do a little research, it wasn't hard for me to come up with some that, you know, people are using. But, you know, go ahead, check this stuff out and see what you can do. But definitely take some extra steps is what I would say. And be alert, be paying attention, and do the research before you go somewhere. But the bottom line, firearms aren't always the answer. But there is nothing wrong with buying a cheap firearm that you don't mind tossing before you get somewhere. Because basically protecting your life and everything you have to throw away $400, probably not a bad investment. You know, as you're crossing the bigger areas and going through tough things, mm-hmm. you know, it wouldn't be bad to be a little bit prepared. So with that, I would say stay safe. Questions, concerns, things you want to tell us, badass@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and subscribe. I love when, you know, you guys subscribe to our YouTube channel. Also, you know, if you haven't downloaded the podcast or subscribed there, I know that's a great option. We're on Spotify, iHeartRadio, just about everywhere. Also, you can check out our email list at preppingbadass.com. With that, stay safe, and I will talk to you guys next week.
Survival and Basic Badass Podcast is a proud member of the Self-Defense Radio Network.
Listening to the Waypoint Podcast Network, brought to you in part by HuntStand, the number one hunting and land management app. 4 in the morning.
Join me, Chef Jean-Paul Bourgeois, and the whole crew here at Duck Camp Dinners every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. Birds up
in the sky. In Wild Country, rules were not created by man. Don't miss Wild Country, Wednesdays from 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern. Presented by Primos. Speak the language. Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.